ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Just want to encourage us. If there is one of the hallmark of next year, is Thanksgiving. Worship is part of it. Thanksgiving is part of it. 1 Thessalonians 5, we start reading from verse 16 all the way through to 24. 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 24. When does the word of God say we should rejoice? When?
Always.
When things are working?
Always.
When things doesn't seem to be working?
Always.
When things are not working at all?
Always.
Can we have it this in TPT translation, please? Thank you. Let your joy. Let joy be what? Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks. For this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. So outside Christ Jesus, joy becomes, or thanksgiving becomes, conditional. That's when you hear people, when you say God is faithful, they say, oh, I can't see it. I need to feel it. I need to touch it. So if I can't feel it, I can't touch it, then God is not faithful. No, he said, make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is the perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And don't be the one who scorns prophecies. But be faithful to examine them by putting them to the test. And afterward, hold tightly to what has proven to be right, the word of God, all the time. Avoid every appearance of evil. Now, may the God of peace and harmony set you apart because you are in Christ Jesus. Make you completely holy because you are in Christ Jesus. And may your entire being, spirit, soul, and body be kept completely flawless in the appearing of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one. What does the Bible say about Thanksgiving? Very simple. It's saying maintaining an attitude of thanksgiving. That's the vital step that you can take to receive the promises of God while keeping aligned with all that he has provided. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again. 5:18. Can you give us in the New King James Version? It said, In everything, please, this week, this is my encouragement. Thank God for that career of yours. Thank God for that business. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your spouse. Thank God for your nation. He said, in everything, give thanks. If you want to know the will of God, then, hey, give thanks. If you want to receive God's instruction, give thanks. If you want to experience profitability in your life, give thanks. Give thanks. So, giving of thanks is another word for gratitude. Gratitude is the state, an attitude of the heart, which you are grateful. An attitude of the heart in thankfulness. Your thank must be full. It's a posture of faith. Gratitude is thankfulness or a disposition of being thankful. Why should we be thankful? Because it is crucial to our walk of victory. Why should we? It's crucial. If you want to walk victoriously in life, you must be a person of thanksgiving. Why should we be thankful? Secondly, is the greatest antidote against worry. Worry wears us out. When things don't work, when things seem not to be working, when we have made all efforts, worry sets in. In Philippians chapter 4, let's read together verses 4 and 8. This is how believers should deal with life. And you know, when you will read the Bible, please understand, the Bible is for everybody, but not everybody benefits from it. But for you, that's why the Bible, we always use the word, in Christ. In Christ. So if somebody is a believer and is not ready to do the word can't work for them. I mean, Christianity that we practice is not an irresponsible Christianity. Any Christianity that puts everything on God is an irresponsible Christianity. So there is a part of God, and that's why we have his word. It is settled forever, O Lord, your word is settled. So he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Against, I will say what? Rejoice. It's an attitude. He said, finally, in other words, when the hell has broken loose, when things seem to work, or things are working, or things not to work, he said, finally, my brethren, this is your own disposition. The things that are true, which is the word of God. And they say you fail an exam, is an event. The posture of faith, the posture of thanksgiving means I have courage to rewrite it again. And when I give it my best shot, I'm going to scale through it. The posture of faith. I mean, you define a proposal, everything looks so good, and all of a sudden they say, we are sorry. Or they place a call that we have considered other candidates. It doesn't mean that life has rejected you. The posture of faith is that the truth is that God says it will teach you to profit. It will lead you. So whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, noble. In other words, God will never do anything in your life that is going to kill you or me. Or put us in a position of compromise. Whatsoever things are noble. And then whatsoever things are just. Literally, Paul was writing about the character of God. God is a God of justice. God is just in his ways. If you are willing and obedient, you will heed the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. So he's just. So there must be willingness. There must be obedience. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve me, they spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. That's the just attitude of God. In him there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. So whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, whatever things are virtuous, if there is whatever things that are praiseworthy, he said, for you and I in Christ Jesus, these are the things we should meditate on. So if I choose to meditate on the state of the nation, to the point that fear sets in my heart, to the point that I am worried that even on my bed, people will come and kidnap me, I will not go anywhere. I hope you understand that. I hope if you have seen this life, there are people who are afraid to go out, and invariably a car comes and runs into their homes. There was someone, it was very unfortunate, he was so afraid of the COVID that invariably he died of it. He didn't go out at all, but his domestic servant was the one who brought it. Was afraid to go out, even to go take the vaccine. Job 3:25. And he emphasizes, that which I greatly fear has come upon me. So, in this time, let's do Thanksgiving all through this week. Let's take stocks. The business that worked, the one that didn't work, the things that you made effort on, but invariably didn't come to the light of the day. I don't want you to cover it up. Just look at them, one after the other. Itemize them. The job interview that didn't say true, itemize them. And then raise an altar of thanksgiving. Raise an altar of thanksgiving. So why should we be thankful? It's crucial to our walk of victory. And then it's an antidote against worry. Look at what one of the translations says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, but thank Him for all that He has done. Thank Him. Synonymous with thanksgiving is the word rejoice. 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 That word rejoice is the word for the believer. So rejoice is the joy of every Christian. Rejoice is our experience in Christ Jesus. The word joy and rejoice, they are used 16 times in the epistle. Epistle means Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Jude, John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Those are the epistles. So if you want to search that word out, the word joy and rejoice, they are used 16 times. And in the whole of the Bible, not less than 62 times. So in Christ, joy and rejoicing is the hallmark of the believer. What does it take to rejoice? It means to celebrate. It means to feel a sense of gratitude and extreme happiness. You know, what put this in context for me is Hebrews 13. I think verses 5 and 6. It said, For he has said. So we celebrate because he has said. For he has said, I will never leave you. So we celebrate. For he has said it. I will never leave you. And then later on, in later verses, he said, let this be your attitude. He said, let us come with an attitude. I think verse 15, 16, 17. Let me search it. That same Hebrews 13. He said, let us come continually. Not something that we do haphazardly. He said, we should come continually. He said, therefore, by him, let us continually offer. The Bible is so true. So, when the Bible uses the word sacrifice, it means there are many days you don't feel like it. If it's convenient, everybody does it. And sometimes the sacrifices are why tears are running down, streaming down your face. You are still praising him because you judge him faithful. We live in the broken world, so we are not exonerated from the heat, Abby. But in the heat, we can make it very cool for ourselves. Because we are in Christ Jesus. There are dispositions. He said, therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Not to men, he said to God. Because why? That is the fruit of our lips. And the sacrifice will involve giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. That's our duty, our responsibility this week. And don't forget, 31st of December each year is the day we've chosen as our own Thanksgiving Day. We rejoice with delight in him. We appreciate him for the things that he has done. So, how does this work? When we say give thanks, how does it work? Number one, we give thanks to God. You give thanks to God. I mean, we read it just now. In Psalm 107, verse 1, it said, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good and for his mercy endures forever. You give thanks. He's good. God is good all the time. He's good. He's good. He's good. Do you know that in our walk with God, death is still a mystery for many believers to unravel? So when that happens, we judge God as being faithful or not being faithful in the midst of death. But when we see that he's faithful, we will see death as just a temporary separation. We will not see death as an end. We see death as a transition. I love what 2 Corinthians 5:1 says. I don't know which translation. It said, if this earthly tent folds up, it said we have a building from God, eternal in the heavens. It said we will not be found naked. That's the Christian perspective. Some people think we are not, but that's the truth. John 14:1 also explained, he said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm not being insensitive, but I've seen where we sometimes mourn as Christians. It's as if God has abandoned us. We ask questions. Why? At such instance, when we lose our taste bud for Thanksgiving, we will never understand why. Isaiah 57, these are some of the scriptures that have resolved this subject of death for me. He says, we do not take it to heart when righteous people are taken away. It's about them. Number one, they are taken away so that they can enter into their rest. And then secondly, they are taken away probably because of the evil to come. I know all of us in this room, since we are not Methuselah, so we probably have lost people at different phases of our lives. So I understand the pain. I understand the feeling. But hey, in the midst of that, we must judge him faithful. So we give thanks to God for his good. He's good all the time. Our Father God is a good God. And we should always show gratitude to him. You know, some people threaten him. They say, if I don't get that job, I will not serve you again. Some people threaten him. Now, this year has passed now. No wife, no husband. Next year, if you don't do it, I just won't do anything. No, you can't threaten. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. And sometimes when he does that thing for you, some of us don't even remember to thank him. He's a good God. We should always show gratitude towards him. You'd say the best gratitude you can show is Colossians 1:12. He has delivered you. He has. Not that he's going to. Not that he's planning to. He hath. King James says he hath. And if he hath, he hath. Nothing changes that. Nothing changes. We have been delivered from the devil. We have been delivered from the influence of principalities and power. We have been delivered. The Bible says, while we were not strong, he gave us strength. While we were still weakling, he has delivered us. Second thing we should give thanks for, the finished work of redemption is synonymous with the first. The finished work. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it knew him not. But beloved, we are now the son. Not that we are going to be in sweet by and by. We are now the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall. Not people. People who don't share your faith cannot boldly say what I have said. Thirdly, we need to give thanks for all men. All men. And those who are in authority. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul admonished us to give thanks for all men and for those in authority. We must always thank God for those in leadership. He said, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may. It's not because they are good, but hey, there is an objective that we may lead or live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That's the reason. You may not like Bubu. You may not like Sanwo. You may not like tea. Whatever. But give thanks. For this dispensation in the life of our country, give thanks. There's nothing you can do. He's still the governor of Lagos State. There's nothing you can do. He's still the president of Nigeria. So give thanks. Are you trying to be partisan? No. But the Bible is so clear. It said there is no government that be. Whatever government that be is a decision, the willful decision of the people. Like I said, if you want to change anything, then go get your card ready for 2023. So we must give thanks to all men and those in authority. Fourthly, we must give thanks for the people in our lives. Give thanks. Your uncles, your aunties, give thanks. Your father, your mother, if they are still around, give thanks. Some of us, we don't have ours anymore. But their memory is blessed. Some still have one. Some still have both. You can't spend life fighting them. Give thanks. Your uncles that is giving you problem, give thanks. Your aunt, there is always an aunt in every family. Give thanks. May the Lord give you understanding. Give thanks. It's just that person, that peculiar person. Everybody is going this way, and she shows up, and she turns everybody like this. The meeting was running smoothly, and by the end of the meeting, everybody fights one another. Give thanks! I know how to manage such aunties. So the same affliction happened to your brethren. So when you have family function, dedicate a caterer to her. When you have to do Sunny and all that, she must be the first to dance. And she can choose to dance at any time. When you have a party, do take away for her. If you are waiting till the day such aunties will contribute, Jesus would have come. So, can you see some of you have them? give thanks for people in your life. Hey, that you have people who can say, Bengawa, give thanks for such people. You may not like what they are saying, but give thanks. No, it's very dangerous. For is the day that you've broken your leg and said, we don't talk calm now. We they talk, you know they listen. No. While you are about to, somebody must say, don't go there. So give thanks for people in your life. Give thanks. Give thanks. People in your life. God has planted that Oga at work. Give thanks for him this season. He has given you queries many times this year, but give thanks for him or her because he has also set you on your toes. You know what David said? He said, it is good for me to have been afflicted because if I have not, I may not have learned your ways. Give thanks. Give thanks. For people that God has planted in your life, give thanks. The next set of people that you need to give thanks for this week, your spouse, your children. If you have a business, your staff. If you are working in a place, your employers of labor. Give thanks for your colleagues. Give thanks for your friends. And then if you have an enemy, give thanks. Don't do proverbial saying, let my enemy live long to see what I will become. Become what you want to become. You don't need your enemy to see what you want to become. Just become all that you can become in God. So give thanks. Say your wife, she's a troublesome, she's a witch. Give thanks. The wizard should give thanks for the witch. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Because it's the side that you are looking at. That which has good side. That which has given you 4 kids. That which all those 4 kids, 3 of them have graduated. And then you have successfully raised a witch. So give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks for your husband. Give thanks. It's getting quiet. You know, Paul always gave thanks for the believers in his life. Do you know that? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I cease not to give thanks. Give thanks. You may be fighting me as your pastor, but give thanks for me. At least all through this year, even though you don't do what I said, give thanks that you can hear the word of God. I know you do what I say, but I'm just using that as an analysis. Give thanks. Give thanks. For the people in your department, give thanks. For the ones that have argued and fought you this year, give thanks. You know, I've shared the story once. And that's why, you know, sometimes this issue of marriage is a very mysterious thing. That's why Jesus said it's like the mystery between Christ and his church. An aunt lost her husband. And, you know, they were thinking about how to get it. I mean, the man had an heart attack. So by the time they got him to the, he was still alive, but by the time they got to the hospital, the man passed. So everybody was looking at, because they know that aunt, she's very anointed. She can slap, if you are the one who is delivering the message, she can just slap you or use her teeth to do anything. So everybody was scared. And then invariably, you know, a such moment is either you look for a pastor, Abby, or you look for an elder. And the truth is that once they cite a pastor or an elder, they know that something. I've had to do that many times. Once they see me like this, because I don't show up in the house, they say, "Pastor, what happened? Is he gone? Is she gone?" I don't say yes. So I just say, "Pastor, what are you looking at?" You know, at such time, when you get into the house of money, you do what? Don't say, "I understand how you are feeling," except you have gone through that route. So by the time they saw the auntie and they wanted to, the only thing the auntie said, "So I will not have anybody to be fighting with every day anymore." So what am I saying? Everybody has their role. Your spouse has their role in your life. Your children, they have their roles. So give thanks. Last area this morning, give thanks in the good and the bad times. Because God doesn't change. Give thanks. It's the same in good times. It's the same in the bad times. That's God. It's the same. Can he prevent the bad times? Yes. But sometimes, things just happen. Life, it's not that he's powerless, but in the bad times, he's with you. The challenges is there with you. In Psalm 136, you can choose to study it at home. And you will see so many instances. And he will always say, "His mercies endures forever." Please, lastly, this morning, thanksgiving is the highest form of prayer. Thanksgiving is the highest form of prayer. And the better way to give thanks in the spirit, the better way. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know how to say it, lifting up those hands in thanks and praise, you are praising yourselves into the victory that God has earmarked for you. Please, whatever state you are right now, this morning, take time this week to enumerate this year. Take time this week to give thanks. Remain grateful. And just watch what God will do in this last week of the year. Just watch it. Watch it. Thanksgiving. You know what Thanksgiving does? Sadness, worry, it closes the mind. The mind is not open for miracle, for creative solution. But when Thanksgiving is done, your mind is free of anxiety. And then you can see things in a better perspective. You can see people, you can see places, you can see events in a better perspective. And then something creative can flow through your mind. Because why? You have the mind of Christ. Zephaniah, chapter 3. Verses 14 to 17. I want us to read it together. Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Sing. You are not singing. You are not shouting. Can we go back again? Why must you do that? Verse 15. Can somebody repeat that? Can we read it again one more time? There is beauty in Christianity. There is beauty in it. I do know that as we just go into the new year, please, that's the beauty. He said the Lord your God is in your midst. And even in the whole world as it is, God is still in charge. That's why things are not chaotic more than it is. Because he who watches over us neither sleep nor slumber. But he said, God, the Lord your God. So he's personalized. Many people may not be able to say that. But for you and I in Christ Jesus, he said, the Lord your God is in your midst. And he's not just a weakling or a weak. He said, the mighty one we save. Hebrews 7:25. He said, he's able to save to the uttermost. He said, he will rejoice over you with what? Oh, let's go back. I know. He will rejoice over you with what? Gladness. So it means God smiles. So 2022, no frowning. You know, sometimes when we frown, we say we are sober and vigilant. And we see them as mark of spirituality. He said, God smiles. He sings and smiles over us. He rejoices over us with gladness. Then he quiets us. So it means when trouble hits, at such moment, he quiets you. And I think for you to understand that scripture very well, look at a young child who is trying to do whatever he's trying to do. And then they suddenly just cry out to call attention. What do we normally do as earthly parents? We take the child and we embrace the child. And then sometimes we rock the child. What are we doing? We are quieting the child. So God says, the word of God says, God rejoices over us with singing. He quiets us with his love. With his love. His mercy endures forever. Isaiah 61:10, as we close this morning. I just want to go on and on. This Thanksgiving, Isaiah 61:10. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Let's stop there. Garment of salvation. Garment of zozo. Garment of victory. Garment of deliverance. Garment of prosperity. Garment of divine health. That's what salvation means. So, no matter what may come our way, he hasn't changed his mind. He said, we have to make that decision. Our soul shall be joyful in our God, for he has. He has clothed us with garment of salvation. Let's read together. He has covered us with what? This is still Isaiah seeing into what Paul later wrote in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is a law, greater law that is at work in us, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Has set us free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh. So God covers us with the robe of right standing with himself, right standing before the devil, right standing before men and their antics. We have no condemnation hanging over our head. And you see, I don't know how people got this theology. They see God as putting some condition to be able to do these things in their lives. No. While we were yet sinners, these things have been settled. All we just have to do is to now yield our heart in response to the things that have been written He has covered us with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decks himself with ornament and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. I don't know if you have seen the way weddings are conducted in recent times with all those pre-shooting, during shooting, after shooting, all shoot, and people shoot their shoot. But in all the preparation, when a bridegroom shows up, can you see the difference? Do you look for who is the bridegroom? Who is the groom? You don't. When the bride shows up, are you looking, who is the bride here? No. There is a way they adorn themselves. They may wear the same suit, but there is a way. The suit of the groom looks different from all the groomsmen. The clothing. So it's the same way. That's the way God has adorned us. He decked himself. Every groom decked themselves. Eh? If I have to renew my wedding vow, I must get a new shoe. Shoe nani. I mean, somebody must be doing something. And this is in righteousness. You find it out in the Bible. Boots and shoe. We chose it. And it's working. It's working seriously. Praise God. The only person I don't want to enter any shop with is PG. Let me be kind a little bit. PG will go to certain shop. He said, Pastor, I passed one shop yesterday. You need to visit. Praise God. Let's come back to spiritual things. Next year, please, I want us to get this and get it very clear. What God is doing in people's lives next year is very simple. God is deepening our root in himself. So you have to make that decision. And the question this morning is that how far do you want to go with him next year? It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I think next year is just for that. Individuals must make a commitment. I want to go deeper with God. All this surface Christianity, let's end it, and let's end it good. All this, go and see God and come and tell us what he says. No. The veil is torn completely. You can access it. You can carry power. You can carry his manifest presence. And it can be evidence in your school. It can be evidence in the workspace. It can be evidence in the boardroom. That's what I'm saying. There is nothing. I believe God is planting people's feet. I believe fruitfulness will mark order of businesses. I believe fruitfulness will mark career path. But nobody can do it for you. It's DIY. He said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. So there is a longing. There is a task that must generate. In closing, Isaiah 44:3. And we read together, 1, 2, 3, go. Father, we thank you. As we give you thanks all through this week, thank you for the mind of Christ that we have will open us up to new opportunities. New vistas of operations, Lord, new experiences with you. Thank you for 2022. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your grace. Your grace is sufficient for us. Your strength is made perfect in every area of our lives. I commend my brethren to you. and unto the word of your grace, which is able to build every one of us up and continually deliver our inheritance into our hands. Thank you, Lord, because out of this congregation, as you have spoken, next year shall come influencers for you. Thank you for taking our hands and walking us through that year, even before we get into that year. And thank you for fruitfulness all around us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,